Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, where we are going to put you on the road to happiness this hour of the show. Our guest has written, I think, a very helpful book, and it's a four-step plan for resilient living. Dr. Amit Sood is a professor of medicine and chair of the Mind-Body Medicine Initiative at Mayo Clinic, and he's written a book, this program that he has designed after seeing tens of thousands of patients, after being able to experience real poverty in India and expecting to find happiness in the United States, but finding that happiness is pretty elusive in this country. He's written a book, The Mayo Clinic Handbook for Happiness. It's a four-step plan for resilient living. And I used one of the steps this morning, actually, before going to work, and it was good. It was really pleasant. So we're going to talk about all of these steps that you can take to achieve happiness in your life and to eliminate some of the stress that we all experience every single day. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Dr. Sood. Our phone number on air is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And we should also tell you, we planned this specifically for our membership drive, because how valuable is information about how to be happy? It's valuable, right? So during this hour, we're also asking for your gift, and you can send us a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. Dr. Sood, it's a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for being with us.
So grateful and privileged to be with you, Kathleen, and all your wonderful listeners.
Oh, and you make me happy just by saying that. It's going to be a good hour. I used one of your exercises today, actually, before I went to work, which was I didn't get to five people because I had to get to work. But thinking of five people, good people in your life who you love dearly, they can be alive or not alive, people you know or people who have inspired you, and to just think about those people and think about their smile and breathe in and breathe out while you're doing that, does that ever start your day on the right foot, sir?
Absolutely. You know, our instinct is the moment we wake up, effortlessly our attention, we go into mind wandering, thinking about what should I do, what should I dread, or we start collecting information very quickly by turning on our, you know, smartphones or TV.
Yes.
Or things of that nature. And in the process, we miss out what is $1 trillion net worth in every single one of us, and that is the people we love and like and who remind us of our goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So when you wake up, instead of letting your mind wander or instantly going into your iPhones, think about three or five people who make you happy and try to go into... when was the first time I met Mary? Oh, yeah, that was the moment. Then try to think about Linda and try to look at the color of her eyes and try to recall that. And maybe go back to when you were 8 years old and look, try to remember how your hair looked. And maybe send a virtual hug to someone who has passed away. And when you do that, you're reminded that life is beautiful. You're reminded that you have good people in your life who trust your intentions and value you for who you are. You have a little bit of a smile as you leave the bed. When I think about my wife, of the good things she has done in my life, as the first thought in my morning, I meet her with a very different energy than otherwise.
I am sure you do. And when you talk about your mind wandering, you say that that happens to most of us 50% of the day, our minds are wandering?
More than that.
Ooh.
So think about this. Let me ask you this. Have you ever read a book, you read half a page, you say, what was I reading?
Yes, of course.
So how often does that happen? So you were mind-wandering at that time. And when I ask people, like I asked someone today, what proportion of the time your mind wanders? Now, what is not happening, Kevin, you're not sitting all day just mind-wandering. What is happening is, for example, when you're driving, you're not looking at the license plate number of the car behind, you know, in front of you or the trees that just passed. You're, you know, on a familiar road, your attention is going, you know, into what you have to do, he said, she said, that email, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or when you're brushing your teeth or when you're having dinner, or I don't know if you have struggled, someone tells you something for 5 or 7 minutes, within 1 minute your attention goes elsewhere. I don't know if you've ever walked into a room wondering, why did I get here?
Yes. Or where are the keys?
Exactly. Or you tell three things to your partner and they look totally blank. Or you're reading book to a child in the morning with no idea what you read or tried to skip pages while doing that and get caught skipping pages.
Right. Yes, it does happen. I want to talk a little bit before we talk about the steps here to happiness about your life, because you grew up in great hardship. And as I understand, some of your first work was at Bhopal after that horrendous chemical spill treating patients. And you, when you came to the United States, you figured it was a country that had a lot of riches and wealth. We must be pretty happy here in America. But indeed, we weren't. Why?
Absolutely. Let me just clarify one thing. I was raised by perhaps the most loving parents on the planet. So they compensated for a lot of hardships that I saw. But having said that, when I was 7 years old, a bully told me that, you know, you were picked up from a heap of garbage by your family, so you really don't belong to your family. So I worried the next 10 years that I'll be transplanted back to where I belonged, and did not always see the love that was coming towards me. And when I was 17, in my hometown, a few miles away from where I was living, we had this huge chemical spill. We were woken up at 2 a.m. running away from the isocyanate. So, yeah, by the time I had decided to come to U.S., I thought I'm going to find this place to be at Disneyland. I thought people here grow up playing in Disneyland. When they're adults, they play slots in Las Vegas, and they retire in Florida playing bingo. I thought that is American life because that's what movies showed. But when I saw the amount of stress and unhappiness, it got me thinking, and I started looking at some of the neural predispositions. The good thing I did was I didn't just blame people. I didn't say, oh, these entitled people, etc. I thought there's got to be a good biological explanation for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found many explanations, which then we put together to help people understand that our brain, and this is very important, our brain was designed for survival and safety, not peace and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we struggle with all our life. It's like you're asking a car to work like a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do that, then you have to put some wings in the car for it to work like a helicopter. So we all need, many of us have won the cognitive lottery. I mean, we can think, we can plan, we can introspect and all that. But cultivating positive emotions, that needs effort.
Yes. Let's talk about attention. It's one of the first things that you pick to do this 10-week program, Four Simple Steps. If we paid attention, if we could train our minds to pay attention, we would remember the book. We would remember what we were eating. We would remember so many absolutely beautiful moments in our lives. How can we train our minds to pay attention to all that's around us? Because much of it is beautiful.
Yes. So the party is really happening outside of our head. Party is not happening inside our head.
Right.
So you want to be where party is happening. And for that, you want to have deeper attention. Now, it sounds like hard work, deep attention. So are we talking an hour of meditation every day or something of that nature? No. What we're talking about, sprinkling your day 30 seconds to 1 minute, a few times during the day with moments of intentionality. The first moment, as you just shared and you practiced beautifully this morning, is when you wake up, think about three or five people who make you happy and go to something specific. You know, remember the first time you met this person. Go to the color, look at the color of the eyes of that person, or try to see that person as very happy wherever he or she is, or remember one way this person has helped you, something that you would not naturally do. So that trains your attention muscle. The second way you can train your attention is every single day, notice something for 30 seconds as if you are a four-year-old. So find magic in a daisy. Look at the design of the broom or enjoy the branching pattern of a tree, or just see why are all the screws vertical in your house and not some of the, you know. So these are some of the examples people have shared with me when they have applied this. So every single day, notice something new like you did when you were a four-year-old. So This is the second way you can, and I'm not asking staring at your keyboard for 45 minutes, just 30 seconds in a single day.
Mm-hmm. And one of mine this morning, I mean, it was a moment, I thought of my dad, and I love my dad very much and had a very hard time when he was dying. But a moment that I remembered was a sad moment in many ways, because it was when he was dying, and he loved dogs, and I loved dogs, and there was a dog in the hallway of the nursing home where he was, and he was pretty much not conscious, but I asked the person, can I borrow your dog for a moment? And I brought him over to my dad and put him in my dad's elbow, and my dad woke up and saw the dog and smiled and then went back into whatever state he was in. And that was the moment that came to me this morning, because, A, he was teaching me about dying, which parents do. It's one of their final lessons to us. And B, it was just this moment of his taking, even though he was in this state, this enormous pleasure in this animal. It was just a moment that I will forever remember. And I remembered it again this morning. And, you know, instead of making me cry, it made me smile.
Oh, thank you for sharing that story. So we will lose people. We all, mm-hmm. I have lost precious people in my life, and I will lose people in my life.
Yes.
So that is just the way life is. We have a choice. We can honor those memories and remember those we have lost with love, with positivity, and try to follow, live our life by their values, and knowing that they want us to be happy and they trust our intentions. Or we can continue to mourn and feel the grief. So we have a choice. When you are celebrating your loved ones who have gone away, you're still honoring them. We sometimes feel like if we are sorry for them having gone away, that is when we are honoring them. But no, they want us to be happy. They want us to live our life with values and celebrate the time we spend together. So that way, losses can become opportunities for growth. Moments for growth, and that is what this exercise takes you to. So when we think about people of somebody who we have lost, and give them a virtual hug, gradually we become more comfortable with that loss, and instead of it becoming a deep dark space, it sort of gets filled with light.
We're talking about happiness this hour of the program. I don't know if I've ever in all these years done a show on happiness. And our guest has written a valuable handbook. It's the Mayo Clinic Handbook for Happiness, a four-step plan for resilient living. Dr. Amit Sood is a professor of medicine and chair of the Mind-Body Medicine Initiative at Mayo Clinic. He has taught this program to over 50,000 people, and now he'll reach many more people as a result of his book, which is captivating, and I think it's really important. A Handbook for Happiness, and we'll be welcoming phone calls for him. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We'd love to join you and have you call us on the air. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Wisconsin Public Radio's fall membership drive. And I'm happy to tell you that, because we're happy to provide this service every single day, 24 hours a day. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. And thank you to everyone who is a sustainer, people who have already contributed during our drive, our very important drive, or by mail. We do rely on you, because I don't know if you know this, but your support is the single largest piece of the whole budget. So if you haven't given yet, now is the time, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Kathleen. So during Chapter a Day this last half hour, 15 of you decided to support Wisconsin Public Radio. I know, that's really wonderful. Thank you so much. And now we have a brand new goal for this hour. We're trying to get to 40 pledges by 2 o'clock. When you make your pledge to support WPR, of course you pay for all your favorite programs. And remember, we've been talking about this throughout the drive. When you pledge this drive, you're automatically entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. So help make the goal this hour and also get entered in the drawing with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We do consider it a great privilege to bring you 2 great hours of radio from 1 until 3 o'clock Monday through Thursday. Today we talk about happiness and important steps that you can take to have a happier life. That's important. We're here with important topics and fun topics and difficult topics like the U.S. bombing of the hospital in Kunduz, which we'll talk about hour two of our show. But we can't have all of these important conversations without your support. Listener contributions make up more than 40% of our budget, which is a whole lot. And it's why we're asking for your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now through the end of the drive, you can get your very own WPR tote bag. So that's, a foolproof way to make yourself happy.
Abby, I know you like this tote bag. Lisa likes this tote bag. Yeah.
And you can do it with a pledge of $6 a month or $72 a year. So your donation will support the programs you count on. And you can also get this handy tote. It's made from recycled cotton. It's printed in Wisconsin. And wherever you go, you can just show off all of your support to Wisconsin Public Radio. So ask for yours now when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing for a trip of your choice to South Africa, Cuba, or Canada. When you give, you're automatically entered, but you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now.
And you can make your donation in support of all of these programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift might be $5 a month or $100 a month. Whatever it is, we thank you, and we count on you.
And you know what Wisconsin Public Radio is known for. Programs that inform you, inspire you, programs that entertain you and engage you. And the coolest thing about that is that you make all of it happen when you become a WPR member. At Wisconsin Public Radio, your gift matters. Become a member with your pledge of $5 a month or whatever amount is right for you. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you think people have listened forever, Lisa, but I met somebody just a couple weeks ago who said, oh, I just started listening to you.
My.
I thought, oh my gosh, have you been doing this for so long? But people just discover us, and we want you to know that we love the fact that you've discovered us and that WPR is listener-driven. We're not profit-driven, so we're able to bring you more programming per hour because we don't take out time for lots and lots of commercials. We inform you. We entertain you. We are your station. If you've just discovered us, please know that you help provide this service. Actually, not help provide it. You're a big, big part of this service. So show your support. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So you've discovered us. You're listening every day, and you've made the decision to give. And now you're just trying to figure out, how much should I give? Know this, the amount is completely up to you, and a gift of any amount turns into great programs that you rely on every day. Make your pledge in any amount right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And when you do, you play such an essential part in funding the programs that you listen to every single day.
And we're looking, Lisa, for 35 more pledges in the next 35 minutes.
Okay.
So your pledge right now is an important one during this very important fall membership drive. And remember those drawings for 2 tickets for a WPR trip and sustainers, you will be automatically entered.
And remember, ask for the attractive new WPR tote bag, and it's $6 a month if you'd like to become a sustainer, or $72 or more per year. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202. And remember, this is a great time to become a sustainer, and it's super easy to set up these convenient ongoing monthly donations from maybe your bank account or your credit card. You can also do that at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Marianne Brandt from La Crosse said, "We love WPR. I listen every day and learn so much." Mackenzie said, "I've been listening for too long without contributing. My husband and I are starting to feel badly about being freeloaders." Don't feel badly about it because you're contributing now. "We listen to WPR on our way to and from work every day, and it's only fair to support something we get so much information and enjoyment from." How true.
That's so true. Thank you so much for your support. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. Do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Lisa got dressed up for the day. She has her I Love WPR
T-shirt
on.
Which I think was a premium from our May drive.
So was it?
I think it was. These
there
premiums, they have staying power.
Yes, they do. So does this station. We
That's
have
right.
staying power. Thanks to you. Thanks, everybody, for all of your support. It's really, really important to us. We're talking about happiness this hour. Dr. Amit Sood is the author of the Mayo Clinic's Handbook for Happiness. He is a professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic College of Medicine and chair of the Mind-Body Medicine Initiative at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and the book is filled with important exercises so our mind won't wander and so that we can see more of what's around us and pay attention to what is beautiful in this world and become perhaps more like children in some ways. We lose that when we get older. Let's go to some phone calls. Our phone number for On Air is 800-486-8655, and we'll start our calls, Doctor, with Steele in Appleton. Hi, Steele.
Yeah, hello, everybody.
Hi.
Yes, there's some pine trees around where I live, and so I walk around, and JV in high school, I played soccer, and, well, I can't trot around that well anymore. And so I look for the pine cones that had spread out. And then I kick them around. Well, I had a couple right by my garage door because they were nice and round. And it would rain today. And I walked over to them, and they had closed up to be tight. But I had picked them because they're round, so they kind of, you know, go straight instead of all willy-nilly. And I said, wow, how cool is that?
Dr. Sood, how cool is that?
Oh, it's totally cool.
Right.
Trees are perhaps the best teachers in the world. You may have noticed the pine trees, when they get loaded with cones, they bend and in humility. And that is how I think we should be when we have more resources. Either worldly resources or wisdom resources, we should become more humble. I grew up learning that when you throw a rock at a tree, the tree gives you back fruit. So if someone throws rock at you, not literally, but, you know, gives you a negative feedback, be kind and gracious in that process. Trees are the true sages. Every part of them is useful. Trees tolerate their roots in mud and muck and dirt and all of that so that they can flower and fruit. So that is how our life is. We have to tolerate our feet stuck in adversity for our head to be held high. So I draw a lot of inspiration from trees. They are the true sages that are living in this world.
And you, in your book, very pointedly say that we need to spend more time, and it may be one of our problems. We live, many of us, in urban areas. There aren't a lot of trees. That if you can find a way to enjoy your natural surroundings and to get to open fields or to get to lakes, it's really good for the soul.
Oh, there have been many studies, scientific studies, that have proven that. So there's something called biophilia. It's a phenomena where whenever we are surrounded by life, we become happy. Pets make us happy. People who we relate to make us happy. Trees, nature, make us happy. So in one study, after a heart attack, people, if they saw just a plain wall versus had a view of the garden from the window, those who had view of the garden actually lived longer after and had better survival. lower pain, lower need for anesthesia, lower improved lower hospital stay, quicker recovery from gallbladder surgery. There have been all kinds of studies that have shown. And actually, there was one study where they had people walk in the mall versus walk in the nature. People who walked in the mall actually became a little more depressed, while people who walked in the nature became happier. Now, the key thing was people who walked in the mall were not allowed to buy anything, so they probably that was partly the reason they got frustrated. So no matter how you look at it, I think if you can invite a bit of nature in your life, it'll serve you well.
Mm-hmm. But buying things may only make you happy for a little while, right?
That is right. It's like taking a spoonful of sugar. It'll make you, it'll give you a very short period of contentment. If you really want your to have a full meal that that keeps you content for at least half a day, you know, have your oatmeal and cereal, and you know that'll stay with you much longer than a bowl full of sugar.
Yeah. Thanks, Steele, very much for your call. Chris from Wisconsin Dells sent this message, and this is very true. I know this can happen to me. I have to watch a lot of news during the day, but she said that it's very hard to stay happy when the news is always so sad and tragic.
Oh, well, I totally agree. When you look at news, there's two kinds of news. There's the local news and national news. Local news, you will notice, is mostly positive or informational, something that is immediately of immediate value. National news is about 10 to 20 times negative compared to the local news. So nationally, actually, according to one study, you have 17 negative news for one positive news. The reason is negative news sells. When was the last time you saw something negative and you just left it at headlines? We tend to read more, we refresh, we want to get more details because they remind we feel like by knowing by learning that national news, negative news, we'll be able to be it'll make us safer. But it usually doesn't work that way. When was the last time you made some major decision in life because of a very negative national news? So my suggestion is, one, decrease the dose of your national news. Increase the dose of your local news. That's how you support your local newspaper, local TV station, etc. Two, whenever you see some negative national news, do something in your life to make someone's life better. So every time I personally see negative news, I say I have to work so much harder now to make the world a better place. It actually inspires me or at least gives me energy to work even more than otherwise.
Well, I'm glad you said that because you can't certainly ignore, and some of the stories are tragic. Look at the refugee crisis that's taking hundreds of thousands of people, people dying in the Mediterranean. You shouldn't turn your eyes away from that, but to do something about it makes more sense.
Yes, and you know depending on your resources, you can just choose to support in a small way your local charity or volunteer for something really small or just take extra time to talk to somebody who is hurting in honor of someone else who is hurting in the world. So if we all did one positive act for every time we saw negative news, the world will be a much better place.
Mm-hmm.
And the third point was never, ever live in fear. It's a complete waste of time. Have appropriate caution. But fear will never lead you to the right place.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about how to accomplish that. And don't be jealous either, right?
Yes, jealous and envy, those are really not helpful. So our instinct is that when we excel, we get haughty, and when someone else excels or does very well, we become envious. However, it should be opposite. When we do very well, we should be humble, and when someone else does very well, we should be inspired.
We're going to welcome more phone calls. Feel free to join our conversation. Our guest this hour is Dr. Ahmed Sood, and his book is The Mayo Clinic Handbook for Happiness, a four-step plan for resilient living. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and Lisa Nalbandian is here. This is also our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive, and it's a chance for you to show your support for all of the programs that you listen to. Take the step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 22 minutes left in the hour, and we're looking for 29 more pledges. And remember, with any amount that you pledge during this drive, you're going to be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. And these locations are pretty wonderful.
They are.
To put it mildly,
yes.
It's Cuba or South Africa or a train through the Canadian Rockies. So it's magnificent. And I should also say, too, that you don't have to donate to enter this drawing. Just go to WPR.org for all the details. Your pledge right now keeps WPR strong, and you'll be entered to win a trip to any of those locations. So make your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dr. Sue was talking about doing something good when you hear news that's not very good. When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you make your community really a better place because you're an engaged, informed citizen, and we know people who listen to public radio are just that. And when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio, then you're doubling the good that you do. We are listener-supported. Your financial support is really the foundation of our budget, and it's your support that makes this amazing service available to you and the entire state. Pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember, through this membership drive, remember to pick the WPR tote bag as your thank you gift. It's for a pledge of $6 or more a month, or that's about $72 or more a year. It's printed right here in Wisconsin and made from recycled cotton. So pledge to support your favorite programs and pledge to get this great canvas tote. It has a bright blue WPR design on it, too. You can see the canvas tote bag at WPR.org. And remember to ask for yours when you pledge right now, also at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might be thinking that your tax dollars, federal and state, are already supporting WPR, and you're right, they do, and we thank them for that. But contributions from individual listeners make the quality and the variety of programs on WPR possible. It is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You make the difference. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm John White. Let's talk about public radio. I've been listening to public radio for about 15 years. Civil discourse makes public broadcasting all the more valuable because it sifts out the noise, the anger, and agenda setting of commercial media. That's why public radio is my source for the gold standard in fair and honest discussion.
Thank you, John. You say it so nicely. I like you, John. Families often tell us how Wisconsin Public Radio brings them closer together, and I forgot to tell you how to pledge. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Children and parents may listen together before school on the weekends. Spouses get together and talk about what they have heard. That happens to me, of course, all the time, as you can imagine. Your support right now keeps all those conversations going as well. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So since you listen every day, being a sustaining member might be a really great way for you to support WPR. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or checking account or credit card. Many people give $10 or $15 a month, but you choose whatever the right amount is for you. You can become a sustainer right now when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your pledge says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me happy. Mm-hmm. It makes me laugh. Those are powerful feelings, and you make an incredibly powerful statement when you support what you value and what you believe in. Renew, join, make an extra gift, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So we have about 17 minutes left, and we're still looking for 24 more pledges. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 will really, really make that difference.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you very much. Make today the day that you may increase your support by, $5 a month, whatever amount.
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be good,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Perfect.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We love getting the messages, too, when you pledge. Can you read them, Lisa?
Oh, whoa.
Let me turn that over to you. There you go. Can
so
you see?
Joan from Verona says, I would be lost without Wisconsin Public Radio. It's my friend night and day. Well, thank you so much, Joan. Join Joan by pledging right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much, Lisa, and I guarantee you, you'll feel a little bit of happiness when you do. We're talking about happiness this hour, and we'll continue with our guest in just one moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dr. Amit Sood is our guest. He is author of the Mayo Clinic Handbook for Happiness, a four-step plan for resilient living. He's a professor of medicine at Mayo College of Medicine, and he's chair of the Mind-Body Medicine Initiative at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. We're taking phone calls for him at 800-486-8655. Dr. Sood, and I know you write about this, Jean called and wants to know if religion in any way comes into play with your plan.
Well, religion is a personal, private practice, and clearly groups of people practice together. There is good scientific basis that religious practices increase your happiness, and part of it comes from faith, part of it comes from connection, part of it comes from having a sense of control, lower fear. People who are who have an anchor like that tend to live longer and be healthier. Given that different people in the world have so many different practices, we do not specifically address it, but we have talked about, but in the book is mentioned the connection between religion and well-being and happiness. So religion is definitely one solid path for a large number of people to find happiness through meaning and through connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, step number three on your four-step path talks about this mind-body practice, too. And some of these practices are found frequently, be it in prayer or be it in meditation in many religions. Just the very fact of taking a few breaths, closing your eyes, taking some breaths, centering your mind, getting your attention in a certain place, that's a spiritual kind of practice.
Absolutely. And I think that deepens your attention. And the bottom line is anything that makes you a more compassionate and grateful person, that will work. And part of the purpose of religion is to remind us of our own innate sacred nature and wake up in the morning with hope. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, you tell yourself, I'm a good human being. And I have this beautiful role model who I want to emulate and live by. And I want to follow the values that this role model has taught me. So religion from that perspective can be a very, very powerful force to make us a better and happier person. You can access that through prayer, you can access that belief through meditation, or a variety of different mind-body practices.
Let's go to Philip in Racine. Hi, Philip.
I like this topic, and I would like to know what you think of my tentative hypothesis. I believe that people who were involved in starting wars, aggression for money or for property or power, are not happy. And my tentative hypothesis is that they have a great imbalance between their material and spiritual reality. And by spiritual, I do not mean denominational. I mean in terms of the human spirit. If this is correct, then we could start working on how to ameliorate it. I'll take the answer off the air.
Thanks, Philip.
Thank you. Yeah, so, you know, acquiring money, property, and power in itself is not bad. But when you do it, I believe, for your own personal ego, so that you show yourself higher on the totem pole, that's not a good idea. If I want to acquire money or property or power, I want to do it because I want to become more useful for the society. I want to be able to share. And through that, you will find happiness. There's a threshold of money, power, and property beyond which it stops providing happiness. And so that's, you know, some researchers have found above $60,000 to $70,000 a year, there's hardly any increment in happiness. So I completely agree with you that when you seek money, power, and property for the sake of money, power, and property, you'll make yourself miserable. But when you seek those so that you could be of service, so that you could be of value, so the core benefit
money provides increment to your happiness if you use it to serve others. And so I think I'm answering your question. And this is not just me saying, this is a large volume of data. Just to quote one research study that was published in 2013, there are two kinds of happiness. One is the hedonistic happiness, the other is eudaimonic happiness. Hedonistic happiness is where, or hedonic happiness is where, you know, all of these things that are self-fulfilling, you know, things like money, property, and power. So both these people seeking both the kinds of happiness were happy on the happiness scales. But those who were seeking money and power, their inflammatory genes were active. While those who were seeking eudaimonic happiness by helping others, their anti-inflammatory genes were active.
Hmm.
But genes know actually what true happiness is. And if we just follow genes and immunity, we'll make the world a much better place.
Hmm. Philip, thank you. Joe in La Crosse, hi.
Hi. I was telling the screener that I have a Gandhi quote that I have attached to all my emails, but I refer to it a lot, and it actually allows me to choose happiness. And if you'll allow me, I'm going to paraphrase it terribly, but it essentially said, and it was kind of in response to the person that said, you know, with all the bad things in the world, how is it, you know, how is it, how can you not be depressed?
Right.
And Gandhi said something like, even though there have been tyrants and evil people in the world, and it seems hopeless, the way of truth and love have always won. These people have always fallen from power, and the way of truth and love has always won. And this allows me really hope, and this hope actually allows me to choose to be happy. And so I think for me, hope is absolutely tied to happiness.
Yeah, how does hope figure in, Doctor?
Completely agree with you. Please don't take away my hope. You take away my money, take away my health, but don't take away my hope. On hope is what I live. Hope gives me hope. The hope that sun will always rise in the morning, as it has, allows me to tolerate the night, and sometimes even find meaning in the night. And so I believe light is always there, if only we can truly open our eyes. And sometimes we may not be able to see the light today, but when we look back at the dark period, then we are able to find the light. So never lose hope. I completely agree that, you know, there's this old saying, I think a lot of people have heard it, that it'll all be fine in the end. But if it's not fine right now, then it's not the end. So in the end, the truth, light, hope, that is what will prevail. That will keep us going, and that will make sure that we create our hope. We need to manufacture our hope and happiness. We just can't leave it to just plain simple evolution.
Thank you, Joe. Joanne, Milwaukee, hello.
Hi, Kathleen. I have a question for your guest. What do you do about people who refuse to be happy? No matter what you say to them, no matter what you suggest they do, they just want to be unhappy. I'll listen up here.
All right, the curmudgeons of the world, Doctor.
Yeah, well, sometimes I talk about popcorns in that context. So when you take a bag of popcorn and you put it into the microwave oven, you run it for 2.5 minutes, about 95% pop, but 5% do not pop. Now, if you want those 5% to pop, you have to run it for 30 seconds more. What's going to happen to the rest of the popcorn? They will burn. So basically, some people are those unpoppable kernels, and you've got to let them go. You may eventually be able to make them happy, but it'll take you a lot of energy. So focus your energy on low-hanging fruit. Now, if someone is unhappy because they had severe adversity in the past, or they're really, really struggling with something in life, so instead of trying to make them happy, treat them with compassion, treat them with acceptance, treat them with forgiveness, and try to remind them that even though it is dark, there's going to be light at some point.
Hmm.
And sometimes validate them. You know, people actually love to be validated.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so validate them. Remind them that they are good people, and maybe share with them that if you were in their situation, you probably will be as miserable. All of this, when you say all of that, it might they might start seeing you as friend, as someone well-meaning, and will open up to you to be maybe perhaps guided by you to a better place.
Hmm. And for those we meet as we carry on with this day on the street or in our offices, even people we don't know, do we say hello?
Oh, yes. At least silently say hello to everybody. We have a core exercise in our program where our instinct is that when we see people, we quickly judge them. We put them in a mall. Walk through a mall and 10 people would have made some judgment about you. And that is our default state. The intentional state, which makes us very happy, is whenever you see somebody, send a silent, "I wish you well." A silent.
I
you
like
don't
that.
Have to say it. Mm-hmm. So it is like when you wish somebody well, there's two people you're wishing well. One is the other person. The second one is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And do this today. You know, maybe for the next 10 minutes, the first 5 people you see, just send a silent good wish and see how you feel. You'll feel happier. So in that context, just one last point here is that sometimes people say, oh, you know, maybe happiness is a selfish pursuit. It is. We say that because we don't know what is happiness at that point. So happiness isn't selfishly seeking sensory pleasures or material gains, as Philip was mentioning. Happiness is that deep sense of fulfillment you get from living a good, virtuous, meaningful life.
Mm. Well, Dr. Sood, I wish you well. I really wish you well. And thank you so much for being with us. People loved you. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Our guest, Dr. Amit Sood, and his book is The Mayo Clinic, Handbook for Happiness, a 4-step plan for resilient living. He's worked with over 50,000 people on establishing this plan in their lives and achieving greater happiness. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to make you happier this hour. I mean, I would ask for anything more. And your support will make that happen. Give now. Any amount makes a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Gosh, as we finish up this really incredible hour, I feel like that popcorn analogy is going to change my
yes,
life.
Yes, I know. It was
I'm
great, wasn't it?
Now.
It was great.
So we have just a few more minutes left in the hour, and we're still looking for 10 pledges. So you know what? This is the time to support this show and all the programs you rely on. And when you make a pledge of any amount, you're entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. We've been talking a lot about it. And listen to where you can go, Cuba, South Africa, or the Canadian Rockies. You don't have to donate to enter. Just go to WPR.org for the details. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm pretty sure that each of you listening this hour took something from this conversation that you'll remember probably forever. I like his idea of each person you meet from now on during the rest of the day. You don't have to say it out loud, but I wish you well. It changes the whole way you see everybody around you. I wish you well. Mm-hmm. Wish you well. Well, make this time a good time to wish us well and take a few minutes to make this hour and so many more hours and years possible. Choose a gift that is okay for you and make a pledge. And we thank you for it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Take a moment, decide how much you'd like to give, and remember, each pledge matters so much. Each pledge helps pay for all of your WPR programs. And only during this drive, make sure to get your very own WPR tote bag. It's for a pledge of $72 or more, $6 roughly a month. It's canvas, it's made from recycled cotton, and it's made right here in Wisconsin. So ask for your tote when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is just wonderful, and we thank you for it.
Mm-hmm. And now may be the time for you to share your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from WPR.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that through the 9XM Leadership Circle. And that's for those who give $100 a month, which is about $1,200 a year. And it provides such an important piece of funding for all of WPR. Make that leadership gift right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Your investment, together with donations from others, makes all of the news and talk on WPR available to everyone. We're very proud, I think you know, because we've been here forever, to make an important, to be an important part of the Wisconsin community. So help us expand that community mm-hmm. with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Lisa, we're still looking for 10 more pledges during the course of this hour. We can do this.
Yeah.
10 more.
So here's one way to think about how much to give. Like, think about how much you spend on, like, Netflix or Amazon streaming
huge
or Amazon Prime, whatever it's called. And think about how you use WPR.
Right.
So maybe think about giving that much per month and becoming a sustaining member right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 10 pledges in the next just few minutes. I'm sure we can do it with the inspiration from the doctor. Your pledge is so important. And remember, you'll be entered into drawing for two tickets on that one of those wonderful WPR trips. And sustainers, you are automatically entered.
Right. So, and for this pledge drive, ask for the new tote bag, your pledge of $6 a month or $72 a year, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, everybody, for all of your pledges. Thank you, Lisa, for being with us. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this interesting hour, happy hour, and thanks, happy hour in a different sense. It's a happy hour. And thanks to Scotty Myers for doing on-air production. Thank you.